Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. But right now, let me introduce my guests who are here with me this morning in the studio from the Don't Meth With Us program here in San Juan College. Paul and Jill McCreary are here. Good morning, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, Scott.
Thanks for joining us, and also joining us on the telephone. Let's bring him into the conversation, too, because we have David Parnell with us this morning. And Mr. Parnell, can you hear us all right?
Yes, sir, I'm hearing you.
All righty. It's great to have you with us as well, David Parnell, and thank you for joining us. You are at your home in, is it Tennessee? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, it's Tennessee.
Yes. So great to have you with us as well. So thank you for being here. And let's talk a little bit, Jill and Paul, about the Don't Meth With Us program. This is something that you both kind of founded here. How many years ago?
2006, we just finished our 12th year, Scott.
12th year, and the program gives a message about addiction to mostly fifth graders throughout the county. Is that correct?
Yes, we do present to fifth graders every year. We want to get to the children before somebody else does.
Right, and the message is all about the addiction of meth and methamphetamines?
Meth and all drugs. I mean, we encompass all drugs through a special program.
Right. And so, and you've gotten great results, I think, of what you've found, because you talk to these kids as they go through their school careers, and what do you find?
Well, we've done 12th grade essays for the last couple of years. We're going to do it again this year. And the 12th grade essays, the children have a great memory of what we presented to them in the fifth grade and how it affected their lives, and it's very moving when you read those essays.
Right, and they're still remembering them even as seniors, are they not?
They remember most of what we told them in the fifth
grade.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. And how many people do you think you've targeted you with this message now in San Juan County since you started this so many years ago, 12 years ago?
Well, we just finished our 12th year, so
right.
We do about 2,200 children a year, so that would be over 26,000 children so far.
Wow. That's amazing. And Jill, again, with the response, and this has spread now throughout to other communities, too, since starting here in San Juan County, correct?
Correct.
And so talk to me a little bit about that. You're on how many different continents with the program, Jill and Paul?
I think four. We're in Africa and Australia and Scotland,
Philippines.
Right. All over the place.
And the United States.
And all over here, too. That's very true. Well, it's amazing. And, well, congratulations. And, again, it's a great program. I think probably a lot of folks who are listening and watching us now probably have kids who are part of this or have heard about it or will talk to their parents about it. And the message is, of course, against addiction. And so now let's bring David Parnell to the program and the conversation. And, Mr. Parnell, again, you bring with you a very important message. And the title of it is called Facing the Dragon, and talk to me a little bit about what that means, and maybe folks who don't know your personal story, what that means.
Yeah, well, the title was it just means addiction. Sometimes the addiction to any substance seems like it's almost like a dragon, like it's just almost unbeatable, and we run into that 16 years ago, and thought that it was a fitting title. And so we ran with it. I'm a recovering meth addict. I was on drugs for 23 years, and the last 7.5 or so was methamphetamine. And once I got on the meth, my life really spiraled out of control. And for myself, I had never experienced anything that was as damaging to my brain and to my family and the community as methamphetamine was for us. And so after 23 years of being on meth, I was depressed, had a lot of anxiety, and was real high, and come home one day and just tried to end my life. I took a SKS assault rifle and put it under my chin and pulled the trigger. And thank God I survived it. And 11 months after I shot myself, I started going into jails and talking to young people in juvenile detentions and churches, and by spring, a police officer asked me to come to his eighth grade boys class, and the local news picked that up because back then there wasn't very many people talking about meth. And when the news picked it up, it just kind of went out of control. I never dreamed, whenever I told my wife in the hospital that I wanted to tell people the truth about drugs, I really meant my area, and I never dreamed I would be all over the country. But we've been in about 38 states in the last 16 years and a couple other countries. And I try to tell the kids that if it can happen to me, it can happen to anyone. I had a bright future of playing basketball in college and threw it all away for drugs.
And it's a powerful message, I know. And Mr. Parnell, I know, too, from your suicide attempt that you've had to undergo how many operations now? Because certainly you suffered a lot of injuries from that, right?
Oh, yeah. It's been over 30 operations now. I haven't had one in a couple years. We're about done with them, but... I actually just quit counting after a couple of dozen, but we think it was in the low 30s that how many operations I've had. The roughest ones was the five bone grafts. I've had five bone grafts, and out of all the surgeries, them was the toughest ones. But I'm going to tell you, though, my friend, I wouldn't care if I had 100 surgeries. I feel better today than I ever felt in my life, and here I am 52 years old, and I'm healthier than I was when I was 25 because I'm living a life of sobriety.
Well, that's a great message. And again, I think it means a lot for young people to hear messages like this from someone like yourself who's gone through it, who can really talk the talk and who's walked the walk and can really show them the effects and how low your life was at one point, low enough to want to end it. And then again, to give that second chance and to spread that message now to schools and organizations throughout the country, which is what you are doing. And bringing your message here to San Juan County. I think it's a great message. And I know I can see why you're in demand all over the country.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, the kids are really wonderful. I get a lot of good feedback from them. And it really isn't fair because a sheriff could go in who knows more about drugs probably than I do. But for some reason, I'm able to relate to the kids because they look at somebody like a sheriff, and this is what they've actually told me. They say, well, he don't know what we're going through. He's never did it. And so they associate me, you know, doing it, that they give me more clout. And like I said, it's not right. I always tell the kids the sheriff knows just as much as me. You should listen to him also, you know. But yeah, we've had a lot of good feedback from the kids over the years.
Well, that's great. And let me bring Jill and Paul McCrory back into the conversation here. And so you are bringing David Parnell to the Farmington area, and he will be here in April, correct?
First week in April, yes.
Okay. And so how can folks come? They can come here and see him, or he's going to be traveling to some schools, too?
Well, we're going to take David around to six high schools, including Shiprock. And on Wednesday, the 3rd of April at 7 p.m., all of the public... It's free at the Henderson Fine Arts Building here at the San Juan College. Can come and see and hear his message. He has a very important message.
Okay.
And if the audience has anyone they know that's suffering or struggling with drugs, family or friends or anything, please bring them to David's presentation. He has a special message for them.
All right. And that, again, is on Wednesday, April 3rd, 7 p.m. here at San Juan College at the Henderson Fine Arts Center.
Yes, 7 p.m., April the 3rd. It's a Wednesday night.
All right. And it's free.
And it's free.
As you mentioned. And so, David, talk to me a little bit about your presentation when you come to these organizations and localities. I mean, you're talking to both students and adults, right? Do you have a different message for that audience than you do when you go to schools?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's 80% of the PowerPoint will be the same photos, but I do a little different program at night than I do with the kids because it's, mainly adults. I can talk about some things that I don't usually bring up with young kids. But the program is going to talk about the dangers of cooking meth. We're going to go through that, some of the poison chemicals. One of the big things on the program, I'm going to talk about child abuse. It's kind of funny, but I mean, I don't mean to say it in the wrong way, but that's one of my favorite parts of the programs because I think we all need to be educated that when drugs like meth and heroin and crack cocaine come into an area, child abuse is going to skyrocket. So I'll talk about child abuse, talk about my own story, show the kids before and after photos so they can see for themselves what this drug does to a human body in a relatively short period of time for a lot of people. Now, when we do our nighttime programs, like in Minnesota and Wisconsin and other places, what's been amazing is the demographic of the audience. It's young people, it's grandparents and parents, and I always encourage the parents and grandparents to come out because it's very important for them to get educated to see what their kids are going through and kind of understand if they have one that's going through it. And we'll also have people that's in recovery and some that's not. And so it's just the demographic of the audience is kind of took me back when we started doing the community program. We started out just doing schools, but when we got into doing the community program, I realized they was just as important to educate the community as it is the school kids. So, and then I'll touch on a couple other drugs also. I'll touch a little bit on the spice that the kids are smoking and the bath salt, but the majority of the program will be on meth because that was my drug of choice.
Sure. But I imagine that you can certainly talk about other types of addiction too, and how the same types of things. I imagine there's a lot of addiction messages and a lot of folks that maybe feel the way you felt from other types of addiction too, that they may be even suicidal, don't you think?
Yes, that's right. Suicide doesn't just come with meth. And matter of fact, I've run into a number of people across the country one that I never forgot was these two sisters in Minnesota whose dad committed suicide after he got sick and he was terminally ill. He left them in a suicide note that he didn't want to be a burden on them. And I thought, man, that was the same way I was thinking with my drugs. I knew that I was I felt like my wife and kids would be better off if I was dead, just like he thought, except mine was drug-induced and his was a terminal illness. So we can all suffer from, different things of depression. It doesn't have to just be drugs. And like most young people, I really believe most young people was like me. They didn't really want to kill themselves. They just wanted the hell to be over. Their life had become with drugs and alcohol, but that's not the way. I mean, it's such a permanent solution to a temporary problem they could get help for. So I always try to encourage kids, please don't do what I did.
Right. And you mentioned, David Parnell, that your life had been, how old were you at this time in your life? You were in your, 20s or 30s?
No, when I shot myself?
Yes, sir.
Oh, 36.
36. But your life then, and as you were getting addicted to methamphetamine, you still had a lot of positive things going on in your life. Your job was going pretty well, and you were telling us things like that?
Yeah. I was what they called a functioning addict, which I don't really believe there is such a thing. I was just a drug addict with a job, but I always kept a job.
Right.
And when I shot myself, I worked at General Tire. I had been there for 5.5 years whenever that happened, and had been driving a semi-truck before that. I still have CDL license, and so I was a functioning addict as far as the way people explain it. You know, I always had a job, but the problem was I had one of the highest paying factory jobs in my part of the country, but we was always broke because my addiction, it didn't matter how much I made, I just wanted to use more dope, and I had a wife and a bunch of kids, and drugs make us very selfish, I really believe. All I really cared about was myself.
Right.
I had to get my fix.
Right. Well, and I'm glad you kind of told that part of your story, because I think maybe there are a lot of folks listening who may know people in that same situation, people that have wives, husbands, children, jobs, and they seem like they are functioning pretty well, but they still have this other underside that is this addiction that is really impacting other parts of their life that they're really trying to tamp down and keep away from everybody else. But it doesn't stay away for long, does it not? I mean, eventually it rises to the surface.
Yeah, it eventually does. I've met so many professional people that was in the professional field, dentists and doctors and judges and lawyers. We had a deputy sheriff that got hooked, years ago, 15, 16 years ago, and nobody knew that he was on it. he told our sheriff that he just started using so he could work longer hours. He just wanted to make a little bit more money for his wife and kids. But like everyone, he thought it won't affect me like it's affecting everybody else. And so they didn't know he was using for a long time. It wasn't until he got paranoid of his own partners that they knew something was wrong, and eventually it come out. I mean, the thing with meth is you can hide it maybe for a year or two or three or four, but eventually with this drug, it's just so powerful that eventually it gets a hold of you and you lose control and you start staying up for days at a time and becoming very paranoid. Most meth addicts start acting like a paranoid schizophrenic.
Wow. Interesting. Let me turn back to Jill and Paul McCrory. When you hear these types of stories, I know, Jill, you were surprised to hear the story about the sheriff's deputy who got addicted, right?
Yes,
I mean,
for
just
sure.
Don't think about that kind of thing. But this is the type of stories that we hear about when we talk about addiction, correct?
And yes. And, you know, last year when Ken Christensen was sheriff, and also now that Shane Ferrari is sheriff, mm-hmm. but Ken and Shane both support our Don't Meth With Us program. And in the past, in years past, Ken Christensen would tell us, he said, a lot of people do not realize how many meth addicts there are here in San Juan County. And his best guesstimate was around 10,000. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. And
right.
So through the Don't Meth With Us program, we feel that the only thing we can do is to educate our children about the dangers of experimenting with methamphetamine and other illegal substances. It's the only way that we're ever going to be able to stop the drug use in the United States.
Right. And to catch them when they're younger.
Yes.
Before they start even experimenting with this, I suppose, or any other type of addictive drugs, right?
Yes.
And Paul, again, targeting these fifth graders, it tends to be, that seems to be the right time.
Oh, it is. It is. It's the perfect time because these kids are smart. They get it, and they remember what we've had to say to them. Any police officer or any law enforcement officer will tell you we can't enforce our way out of this problem. We've lost three or four generations to drugs. We can only bring the next generation up off of drugs. And the only way to do that is to educate them and tell them what it's going to do to their lives and how it's going to stop them in their tracks to becoming anything. And it's going to destroy their lives.
Right. And David Parnell is a great example of what has happened and what you're able to do, even if you are addicted. And David, you're a great example of that, of how you can turn your life around. It takes a lot of work, as you've said, but it can be done. Is that the message?
Yes, that's the message. And I agree with Paul and Miss Jill that education is the key. I mean, that's really the key, I believe.
All right. Very good. Once again, the event is coming up on April the 3rd. That's a Wednesday, 7 p.m. here at San Juan College. And Mr. Parnell will be in town the entire week making visits to other schools in the county. And so school
yes.
kids will be hearing this message there. But again, if you want to make sure or bring parents or grandparents or older brothers or sisters, Wednesday night is the time to do that.
That would be perfect.
Very good. Thank you all for coming in this morning.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for
thank
having
you.
Us.
All right. David Parnell, thank you so much. Appreciate your time this morning, and we'll look forward to seeing you in April.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
All right. Thanks so much. My guest here on KSJE, everybody, back with more in just a moment. The time right now is 8:30. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.